Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, August 26th, 2002. Today's session is titled, Is There a Common Mission Among Lutheran Social Ministries? Presented by Drew Gensler. The session number is GEDR 2002-01. Let's listen in.
A brief round of introductions, because I really hope people can talk better together about these kind of big abstract topics if we kind of know maybe a connection you might have to some kind of Lutheran social service. And I'm sure if you think for a minute or two, you all can come up with something like that, whether you've worked at a Lutheran social service professionally or volunteered or in your congregations. It's just some way. We'll do an activity later about that. But I should start by saying I am starting Tate now, officially. My name is Drew Gensler, and I work in the Public Policy Office in Washington, D.C. for Lutheran Services in America, which is the recently formed umbrella group, the roll-up aggregate group of Lutheran Social Services and Lutheran Children and Family Services and other Lutheran social ministries across the country. So that's a huge network. They've rolled up a small national staff to keep their eye on things like public policy and human resources and like other ways that we can all act together. And so our question I wanted to pose today, and you can ask just about anything later on in our discussion, but what I wanted to kind of focus on today is kind of what this monolithic thing is, and if we feel as people of faith, as Christians, and perhaps most of us as Lutherans, is there a common mission that we should be about? What kind of resources do you bring to this, having read the Bible and maybe heard talk of some of this and worked with Lutheran social ministry? What kind of common mission or purpose do we have? And is there one? And should there be one, perhaps, and perhaps not? So that's probably enough about me. I work in public policy and been working, wanted to mention one specific thing actually besides that. Been working not only on our sort of social ministry network I've just been describing, but the way this interacts with something called the faith-based initiative. The kind of undercurrent in what we do and what the Catholic Charities does and what the United Jewish Communities do and other things, there's always this kind of undercurrent, this underground stream of faith-based, or to what extent we preach the gospel and how we preach the gospel, how we show the gospel, how we live the gospel in our services. But recently, with the current administration, those questions have become explicit. We are being called on our faith-based nature. We're being challenged to say publicly what we do as a faith-based organization and how we define those things. Should we embrace this kind of initiative cautiously? Should we embrace it wholeheartedly as brothers and sisters in Christ? Should we be very skeptical of it? There are people all over the map on reacting to this new way of funding social services. And so that's kind of the big picture of this week. Today, I'd like to focus on what Lutheran Services is, and then there are a couple other topics. If you can join us throughout the week, I certainly hope you will. Today is a bit more programmatic about some stuff, the size and numbers and things. Hope to get into some Bible study in relation to this. And tomorrow we'll get into sort of the recent social history of this. Pat Buchanan, Hillary Clinton, George W. are all Methodists. What does that mean? That is an interesting sociological fact, as they all proclaim publicly what it means to be Christian in the public sphere. So we'll talk about some of that. And the faith-based initiative in general on Wednesday, and a Lutheran Public Voice and Bible study on Thursday, and Saturday, our own involvement in the public sphere as advocates, what we do. So please join us for that. We'll have a discussion, broad-ranging discussion at the end of each of these sessions. You can bring up, if you're not going to be here one of these days and you want to bring something up for our group or a question of me, please do that after our focus. So let's go around really quickly, if you could say your name and maybe some connection you might have to Lutheran Social Ministry.
I'm Franz Scholl. My connection is for several years in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. I was what we call the area director for Lutheran Social Services. In our particular spot there, we had refugee resettlement and adoption, and we had a counseling program. We had a program where you could push a button, call for help, and a couple other smaller things.
Thanks.
I'm Karen Block. I guess I can't say that I've been involved with it majorly, but involved with, I guess, the kids at our church making those layette packages that lives in social services and the school kits and all that stuff. So I plan on getting more involved in small group ministry at our church. We're going to start up this huge thing now, and I thought it would be just interesting as to what we could bring as far as, you know, small group ministry with social ministry and all that. So.
That's an important connection we're going to explore later, too. You have a local social ministry organization, per se, and congregation, social committees. Thanks.
I'm Mary Ellen Sheridan. I don't think I have any connection to it. In Issaquah, we don't have any Lutheran social services, but our church does send things. Is it the what's the Compass Center?
That is another, that's a Lutheran ministry organization.
That is a part of them. Well, they do, and they do go down and serve breakfast once a month, I think, to the woman's part. But the Catholic Community Services has the contract for our area, I guess, and for what I, used them for. And therefore, Lutheran Community Services are not out there for us. I'm talking about living in an elderly place where people need help, and Lutheran Services can't do it because the Catholic Community Services has the monopoly for the state or something. I don't know.
Okay, well, thanks. Maybe we'll discover more connections as we go along, please.
Well, as I said, I think our church contributes to some of it, but anyway.
Great, thanks. Ladies in the back, you want to?
I'm Jeannie Lawson, and I have no connection with Lutheran Services, but I volunteer for an organization in the community, which is funded by the churches in the community, and also a community drive at Christmas time. And we help people who need emergency help, like if they can't pay the rent that month or electric bill. And we interview them and make sure, that they're in need. And I just like to know organizations that I can refer them to, because we also do that.
Oh, great.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a raver, and I'm still looking for my niche.
Okay.
This just may be it.
Yeah, welcome. You
I'm Krista Beltry, and I guess my connection is I graduated in May with a social work degree, so sort of I'm drawn to discussions that kind of address that topic. And my home congregation and the church that I worked at had a Lutheran Social Services office there. And so I just kind of, would kind of chat with the woman that was the representative for our area. And then I guess my most direct contact with specifically Lutheran Social Services would be, I got married in June and we had to go through a marriage workshop that Lutheran Social Services put on. So
okay.
I sort of feel like that's my direct connection, I suppose.
It's very interesting, and if you can come back on, one of the days, probably the Wednesday, the question about marriage counseling and what that means for faith-based groups is big right now with the whole idea of welfare and how the Congress is re-upping the welfare legislation. And there are pieces of that have to do with what's called marriage promotion, but they're looking to churches to do that in a finely balanced way that perhaps is not prescriptive on people, but it can be helpful for communications and things like that. So it might be interesting if you care to share that, how, not the results, but just how, how that was, what kind of experience that was like. Thanks. Maren?
I'm Maren Olson. Two connections, I guess. One,
is that the year after I graduated from college, I worked as a Spanish interpreter for a bunch of neighborhood clinics and social service organizations, and I worked a little bit with LSS there, plus a lot of my people I was helping had through LSS. And then also I'm in my last year of medical school, and so a number of my patients, particularly the immigrant population, have been helped by LSS.
I know Diane, and came here from being area director, just like you, Franz, in the Seattle area for Lutheran Social Services. I actually started there in 1985 as a board member, who had a degree in both social work and also one in theology, but I gradually moved off the board into being clinical director there, and then shifted over the years into being the area director. We had a very big children's services program, which included adoption, foster care, respite care for disabled children. Another big area was refugees and immigrants, both refugee foster care, which was a really large program, as well as a program called International Counseling, which was a counseling program, clinical services for new refugees. Counseling, the program called Divorce Lifeline. And then the thing that I really, really came to love that was growing strongly at the point that I left was family support centers, community-based centers that were a combination of community organizing, the strength, the asset-based work that has become popular across the country, but really kind of the good old original social work hospitality houses, you know, in local communities that saw everybody as having resources to share and benefit the community. And that, I really love that, and that very much involved congregational work, mm-hmm. because those were sources of community empowerment if they actually talked to their local communities. And the reason I was smiling when you were talking is that I preached at your congregation about 7 years ago, and I had alluded to our adoption and pregnancy counseling program. And there was a member of the congregation that came up to me afterwards who had a daughter who was 8 months pregnant, who was trying to make a decision about whether to keep or place that child. And they had no idea that we had that program. And it wound up being the fastest adoptive placement that you've ever seen. Because it was so rare that we received a child in that manner rather than a child that was removed for drug and alcohol usage by the parent at the hospital. So I remember fondly that meeting in the hall at the church.
Seen her recently?
Pardon?
Have you seen her recently?
No, I wouldn't have had any direct contact.
She was here this week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I wondered if you had made the connection.
Wow. Well, small world.
Yeah.
So I still love and miss and have a lot of contact with the work of social ministry organizations. I just think it's a vital link on the life of the church.
Are the counseling services part of this that you're talking about too?
Yeah, we can talk. If you have a Well, we can talk about that specifically as, you know, as programs. But this, yeah, and counseling also is another area that the faith-based initiative interacts with initially, because it has to do with the kinds of counseling services that are out there, a whole broad spectrum of groups who in name, you know, say that they are Christian groups and offer a wide range of different kinds of counseling and what that means. And mm-hmm. Lutheran Social Services and Children and Family Services and things has a network of chaplains and a network of counselors in that sense, who are accredited by other bodies outside Lutheran services, but, you know, certainly use standard accounting, psychological and psychiatric methods and things. In the back.
Hi, I'm Doug. Not a direct connection, I think there are two kind of tenuous connections. One is I'm a social worker when I was living in Southern California. We were in Southern California. I was doing case management and program development kind of stuff.
Can you speak up a little bit?
I'm working with developmentally disabled adults in programs. Wow. And I kind of worked in tandem on some program development with an LSS program in Pasadena. So I'm just kind of mildly connected. And this other connection will be that I share a Shelby with you.
That's right. That's right. Hope I didn't snore too loud.
My name is Tiana. I'm going to school at Western. I have a year left there. I don't have any real direct connection that I guess I know of, other than just kind of through the church and that regular sort of, not a very personal one right now at this point in my life, I guess.
Mm-hmm. My name is Katie. I'm so probably a similar situation. Nothing direct. I know our church has done it. Send packages overseas and stuff that the kids would get involved in putting together, but I don't know if AAL is a part of it, but I've gotten a couple care packages at college
for them. Yeah. That's a great point to point out how we're on the receiving end of a lot of these things. Yeah, that's right. We used to get those too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, welcome. We did have someone sitting up there. It was Dan Geslin. He just stepped out. I don't know. I'm going to try to embarrass him or not, but he might be back anyway. We'll have him introduce himself if he gets in. Well, I hope you'll bear with me for about 10 minutes. The things that we're talking about, the concepts that are part of this, are in a way so abstract. You have government. You have a huge network of service providers, faith-based service providers. And then you have this kind of bridge building between the two in terms of funding and in terms of the kinds of theology and the prophetic voice that faith-based services can provide to the government. I think Martin Luther King said something about that the church is neither the kind of facilitator of the state, or there's another descriptor, but the church is the conscience of the state. And so when the state itself raises up the question of faith-based social service provision, how do we care for all of the citizens in this country, all the people in this country, the Lutheran prophetic voice says to the state, the government has a fundamental responsibility. We not only say that as good citizens, but Luther would have us say that as good Christians as well. That's part of the social witness of the church, to be able to say that. So these things are kind of abstract things, and what I wanted to do today, if you'll bear with me for a couple of maybe zany, maybe a bit childish activities, would be to, well, first let's do something, we'll get to that in a second. Engage in a couple of ways to describe or to draw a picture to flesh out what Lutheran Services is in sort of a physical way. And then we'll get into some of the other questions later on. I hope you can join us for those as well. But today, I wanted to, by means of describing what this LSA network is, and then discuss if you feel there's a need for a common mission among the groups and what that might be as we talk about faith-based services. You as Lutherans and as Christians, what kinds of networks, these are physical buildings and soup kitchens and hospitals and counseling centers in neighborhoods across the country. What kinds of representation do you think they should, you know, how do they represent you in terms of the church, and what kinds of services and things should they be bound together by? And then those are some questions to think about. But in terms of size, I wanted to engage us in a sort of game show quiz, if you will, a sort of guessing game about the size of Lutheran Services and about some of the services it provides as a way of sort of fleshing this out a little bit. How many people would you think in a year are served in total? Actually, we have to back up a second. To use the word served is also kind of an assumption of mine as well. Sometimes, and this is our sort of annual survey summary, and they come at this from a corporate perspective and talk about clients, which is a very interesting description for people we're in fact serving. And maybe that's something to put up the store in your memory bank for a second and bring that up later too. How comfortable are you with the word client as opposed to a person, or a person served, or a person helped, a person assisted. Maybe a person changed, maybe a person transformed, those kind of things. So how many people would you think have interacted with, in some way, Lutheran services in America in the year 2000? And I can give you a couple of hints here, and then take a couple of guesses. Would you think it's about 2 million, about 5 million, or about 7 million? Any guesses? 5? Anybody else? Those are like estimates, so if you have any other estimates, lower, higher? Well, this survey tells us it's actually 5.8 million. So you're
very good. It's
right. When we have to write something snappy for our policy paragraph, you know, to catch someone's attention, given the current census, that's about 1 in 50 people in this country has in some way interacted with Lutheran Social Services or Lutheran Children and Family Services, not agrees.
Within the past year, is that what that means, or over?
This is the calendar year 2000. Good question, though. Yeah, we're talking about the 12 months of 2000.
Okay.
How many, as I said again, LSA is this kind of roll-up aggregate, basically it's a national staff. So, you know, in that sense, the organizations don't work for us or are beholden to us, but we provide services to them. So what we do when we talk about all these numbers, we're talking about their cumulative numbers, basically.
Does this include our hospitals?
Yes, okay. It would. It didn't until 1998, but it does now.
Okay.
What would you say that this total members of all across the country in the Caribbean and the Virgin Islands, what would you say their total budget was in 2000? In other words, the amount of cash that they spend on providing the services. Would you say something like $100 million? $2 billion with a B? $7 billion? Or $10 billion or upward?
About seven?
Guesses? You have a sense? Higher or lower? Two? Okay, so we got a good range. 7.6 billion.
Oh, man.
So you are you must have worked for them and stuff.
Oh, yes. Did lots of budgets.
That's a combined budget. And
is that for America? Is that all over?
That's in the United States and the Caribbean, Virgin Islands. Yeah. 7.6 billion. There's a magazine that ranks nonprofit networks across the country, and Lutheran Services has been the largest, which was a shock to us. We use that when we can. We certainly, I mean, that's not a matter of bragging rights per se, but where it can help out talking about, you know, if you're trying to get your foot in a congressperson's door or something to talk to them about homeless people or about affordable housing or about elderly seniors who need housing and are poor, that statistic alone helps you out sometimes, and you have to sometimes balance that advocacy. So that Lutheran Services has been ranked the largest network in the past couple of years. Kind of surprised, because we're very quiet as a group. Garrison Keillor always harps on that every Saturday night. Why? But we're quietly, at least in our social service group, we're quietly a real force in this nation. Now, in terms of the social ministry organizations that make up, that constitute LSA, how many would you say there are? Would you say there are about 200? About 300? Maybe 400? 500? Nice round figure. Any estimates, given that we're in 50 states and regional and other things? Any guesses?
About 500.
500? Lower, higher? Anybody have a sense of 280, actually. But I need to point out with this figure that some of those, Lutheran Social Service of Alabama, for instance, is one person with a volunteer board that meets, like, I think it's every 6 months or something. And they do a lot in tandem with the other churches in their area. I believe one of the ladies in the back here was saying that, you know, you work with a lot of the other churches in your area by necessity, you know, or the other organizations in your area to pull something out. That group in Alabama does that a lot. There's also Lutheran Social Service of the South, that is a multi-state group and has, and they themselves are a network of many little or smaller, you know, groups and counseling centers and homeless shelters and hospitals and things. So by 280 different members who would consider themselves part of Lutheran Services in America. Okay, a couple more. How old would you say LSA is? Would you say 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, 50 years?
25.
15.
15?
5. 5? Who said 5? Okay. Anybody else? I was hoping this was a trick question, but it is 5 years, I was going to say. Because this is kind of misleading people when I talk publicly, you know, to members of Congress or something about how old LSA is. The Lutheran social service commitment in this country is hundreds of years old.
Oh.
It's colonial, pre-colonial.
You tricked me.
But I think Maringa. But we've only found this recent sort of need, since we're so broad and diverse in our services. Only in the last 5 years have we come together as a sort of nationally recognized group. So that's kind of interesting. How many people would you say work for Lutheran Services across the country in different places? You've all mentioned some sort of at least volunteer connection or acknowledge. I mean, there's some sort of presence in your community. How many would you say paid staff plus volunteers and board members and things? How many people would you say consider this their kind of either volunteered job or livelihood? I'll spend just some of the guessing at this point, but 242,000 people are involved. That's paid and volunteers. 144,000 of those are paid staff across the country, and they range from AmeriCorps volunteers who are paid a stipend to work and tutor high school youth or to build homes with Habitat or something, to nurses and doctors who work in our hospitals, to psychiatrists and counselors and social workers, pastors and chaplains, and direct care workers within some of our senior homes, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, everybody who sets up, you know, affordable housing. And so a broad group of people. A small percentage of whom, by the way, are actually Lutheran. I think majority. Diane, do you have a better sense of that? I don't have a number on that, but at least a majority, and probably a large majority, are not of those workers. Would not be Lutheran, and wouldn't have to be. I mean, I think.
Well, certainly in Seattle, being one of the most unchurched areas in the country, wouldn't have any staff.
That's right. Yeah. Someone asked earlier about hospitals and medical systems. How many would you say Lutheran Services has in the country? These are systems or big hospitals.
I didn't
eight.
Really have any.
I mean, the quiet voice, right? I mean, 8, 15, 20, 25.
Are you counting nursing homes or just hospitals?
These would be hospitals themselves, ones that function as sort of, you know, medical care, you know, broad range medical care.
If at all.
13, so a few more. 13.
13.
There are 13 hospitals across the country.
Where are they located?
A couple are in Chicago, Advocate in Chicago. A couple are in Minneapolis. You can probably pick some of the
Which
cities.
Which ones are in Minneapolis? That, that's where I live.
I'm trying to think of names. Some of them are medical systems, too. That would be like a series of clinics or maybe insurance, you know, medical insurance company. You know. I don't know a lot about our hospitals. I'd throw that in because I thought it was surprising myself. I think there are a couple in St. Louis and San Diego. Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to look into that, actually, and see where they are. I wasn't surprised that we have some in Minneapolis, actually, or Chicago. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of Lutheran Central or Fargo or Sioux Falls or, you know. I think Austin has one, too.
Really? I'm surprised I didn't know that.
Okay, a couple more. Let's do a couple that had to do with this faith-based initiative. Oh, actually, wait a minute. How about meals served? These would be hot meals served to people off the streets or who are living in sort of a transitional housing or homeless shelter. 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million. This is for the year again, annually.
10 million.
10 million.
So you get a broad range again. I don't know, and I don't know how they calculated this one. I mean, this is really difficult, but the people who did the survey calculate that 5.25 million, 5.25 million meals pass through to people, like, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinners. So not quite as many as McDonald's, but, you know, I mean, I think they stopped counting, actually, haven't they? When I was little, they used to have, like, the 100 billion served or 500 billion.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're going to keep counting. I don't think we'll hit that many, but quite a few. That surprised me. Okay, and probably let's end on this one because this has more to do with the government funding stuff. How much of that, we said earlier that we have about a budget of $7.6 billion with a B. How much of that would you say comes from the government? That's local government, your cities, and then states, and also the federal, big federal departments. We're talking about something less than $7.6 billion because it's a part of that, but would you say $5 billion, $2.5 billion, $1 billion, $100 million?
About
3.5. It's actually, I'm not sure I have the figures right here. Hold on. Because these have changed, the ones I've been talking about. $1.9 billion would be, so about $2 billion. That's about, we say, shorthand, that's about 45% of our funding. So when you talk about a new way the government's considering funding faith-based groups and what it means to be faith-based, you can bet we're going to pay attention to what that means, because we got about 45% of our funding from those government sources. Mm-hmm. And that has drawn some well-founded critique on both sides. Some people have said, how can you, as a church-based group that's supposed to be the conscience of the state, that's supposed to be prophetically telling the state how to treat people, how can you do that with integrity if you're receiving $2 billion from those very entities, from the federal departments for housing and urban development and health and human services? And how can you do that? On the other side, the question is, have Lutheran service ministries, in a sense, become so professional? And in that sense, this is a loaded word, so maybe we should unpack this later, but secular. Have we, in a way, moved from our faith, from our spirit-filled faith desire to help people, to become so professional, to receive $2 billion from the government, that we, in fact, have moved from being faith-based and don't need to worry about it? Those are different critiques of this, and this faith-based initiative, those are always kind of undercurrents in how people think about this, but the faith-based initiative has brought those explicitly to our sort of public conversation. It hits the newspapers, the president talks about it, the Congress argues about it, and ministry directors worry about it, because it can profoundly affect how we, you know, what Lutheran social ministry is in some way. So that is a sort of gives you a bird's eye view of how what Lutheran social ministry is, in a way, is large and abstract. What I wanted to do, also, in terms of this, you have to bear with me on this one, this is a little bit zany, but again, this is such a big, broad, abstract thing, I wanted to ask you to help me participate in creating a web of connections that Lutheran Services provides among various church entities and various groups and offices and things that we help. Because a lot of this is very dry and abstract. I think it would be helpful. It's helpful for me when I'm listening to statistics and things like this to get a sense of the kinds of connections that are involved here. So if you wouldn't mind, there are 10 of these. If you wouldn't mind taking one, you just pass them around and taking one. They each have the name of a church body or like a set of groups, like social ministry organizations or federal departments, or various other groups that Lutheran Services connect with, in a way. And if you wouldn't mind, and if you can keep this separate from your knitting.
My knitting's all good.
Oh, okay. And if you can warm up your throwing arms for a second, I know baseball's going on strike, but if you can think about Once everybody has one, and we have, I think there are a couple more than 10, so if you, I mean, if you don't have one, that's okay. Don't feel left out. You all have a handle on, if you have no idea what they mean in front of you, say so, and like we can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I either LCMS. LCMS is the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Oh, okay.
And one of the reasons Lutheran Services is such a large entity is that it's not only ELCA run services, but it's also LCMS services. So we kind of that's a balance that we've sort of brought to the public here. So that's one big sponsoring group of LSA.
Okay.
And this is. You have National Network Partners. Lutheran Services in Washington and across the country works with other groups that you've probably heard of, United Jewish Communities, as UJC. This is Catholic Charities, Red Cross, Volunteers of America, that run a lot of things like AmeriCorps and Senior Corps and Service Corps.
Volunteers of America and AmeriCorps?
They do a lot of work with with the sort of that government volunteer programs. Mm-hmm. And UW is United Way.
Okay.
So we work constantly with these other big groups, some of whom understand themselves as just like, you know, faith motivation, and others are who say, not really, we're going to be sort of altruistic and secular humanist groups that work, you know, for the good of the Commonwealth, but not from a faith perspective. So anyway, so you all have one, and you have the ball of yarn. Now, if you would, say what yours is, and then hold on to an end of that thing, and toss it to somebody, anybody in the room. Just throw it to
the National Network Partners.
You can hand it to them.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's your niche.
I haven't seen that since the bouquet of them. Over the shoulder.
Like the bridal bouquet. The Vision for Church in Society.
Okay, as the ELCA.
Hold on.
Oh.
Here you go. I
have
the LSA Network.
Okay, I should explain. Thanks, Ron. Within LSA, we have all these different services, like that, some of which we've been talking about. And some of those get so big and wrapped up in their own service line, what they do, that we have sponsoring networks. Like we have a chaplain's network within Lutheran Services, and we have a disabilities network and a children's services network. And so all these groups have their own conferences and their own ways of getting together to talk about what's important to, like, adoption for children's services or disabilities issues and developmental issues for disability services and things like that. So those are just networks within LSA.
I have Lutheran Disaster Response.
That's a very cool group that's been very active. Basically, you know, we kind of, I guess you all have a different perspective on what all these big Lutheran entities are, but there's Lutheran World Relief, and there's a lot of international aid relief, and Lutheran Disaster Response, there's a lot of domestic response. Some of you might be more familiar with that than I am, but they've been doing a lot of work, of course, in New York lately, and in Washington, and really ongoing across the country, like flooding of the upper Mississippi and in Louisiana, some of the West Nile fires things, if that's becoming a larger epidemic, they pretty much are on the spot with, you know, whatever kinds of aid is available.
I have Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service.
Have you heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Have you got an idea what they pretty much have? Marlon was talking about, did you hear something about resettlement? Someone's talking about resettlement.
I worked with refugees.
Yeah.
Refugees.
Okay. It's interesting, we, lately with the international situation as it is, the government has decreased sharply as the number of refugees that are allowed in as a matter of course, and are asking a lot more questions of the ones who are already here in order to settle them or, you know, to keep them here or not. And Lutheran Immigration Refugee Services works with Lutheran Services because we have the sort of outlet with the agencies that will provide some of the realistic and ongoing support for people as they they do a lot of advocacy in Washington to change some of the legislation, and a lot of legal counseling and things, and a lot of the wrangling that goes on with, you know, are you a person seeking asylum, are you a refugee, are you an immigrant, and there, these are all different specifications, you know, that people need to go, hoops people need to jump through. So we sort of help out with some of the service provisions, settling. There are a lot of Somalians in North and South Dakota, which still kind of cracks me up. I mean, that must be quite a cultural adjustment.
There's a high Somali population in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis. But my brother and sister-in-law live in Wisconsin, and there are a lot of Hmong and Vietnamese and Asian immigrants and refugees. And, it's an ongoing thing. And a lot in Florida and Texas and California, there are a lot of Hispanic refugees.
Washington, too.
And Washington.
We have a lot. There's a high Liberian population in Minneapolis.
Interesting. So. Okay. Well, that's really neat. Those are things that, I mean, this is, you're really helping paint a broader picture of what goes on here. Okay, who's got the ball here?
I know.
Okay.
Doug knows me. He said, he whispered, good luck throwing it.
You can hand it to Diane or someone. Nice.
That was pretty good. ELCA, LCMS congregations.
Okay. Diane mentioned that too, and LSA, this is one area where I think we can be doing, as a network, we can be doing a lot better. There are, as you know, we're just talking about where we're coming from, and things are, I think there are quite a few ways that social ministry organizations, like Lutheran Social Service of Iowa, for instance, can be connecting, it probably already does in ways, but to roll these up and have them be nationally accessible for people to duplicate. It's still a very regional thing, and you have probably typical thing is that probably a big congregation's youth group maybe in Des Moines will go and help out somewhere or do a project or something, and that's great stuff. And I mean, we need to know about that. We need to have that be a part of our national way of thinking about Lutheran services. Or Diane's talking about preaching, and you know, preaching in congregations and things. A lot of neat connections can go on. The congregation, especially. In the national sense, the other thing the Bush administration is doing that you may have heard about is talking about volunteerism. In the State of the Union, President Bush mentioned a sort of increase in volunteerism, and he kind of refers back to almost a JFK, a Kennedy-esque, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. This kind of idea that, you know, at least in civic volunteerism, and you know, there are ways that we can help embrace that without embracing what a lot of people in the church might think is a, you know, problematic way of looking at the faith and other things. But when we talk about civic responsibility and ways we can help out our neighbors and things in general, it's important that volunteers who come larger from congregations are given outlets for organized ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. So my experience, if someone volunteers for something and they have a terrible time with it, even if they're well-intentioned and want to do it again, they're going to think twice about it. If the thing was just completely disorganized and, you know, it's a bad experience, even if that's not where their motivation is, even if they really want to help, it becomes that much harder to engage people. So I think we can do a lot more with organizations. All right, I'm talking way too much. Who's got the ball? It's getting smaller. It's probably getting harder.
It's getting lighter.
It is. I have Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
You want to offer or comment on that, or I can?
just, you know, that they are a part of this. And in some states, the organizations are separate. You know, they grew up historically separate and never got together, but most areas they joined, and at least the one that I worked for had 7 judicatories that started in the beginning 50 some years ago. So in their strong voice, very compassionate theological history in Missouri Synod, that is a real strength for the organizations that lean on it as well.
Kind of a candid comment on that, Diane. I think, you know, I think we have to acknowledge obvious theological differences between the ELCA and the Missouri Synod, and ways that we go about living out the faith. But it's been surprising to me in 2 years working in Washington that there are some areas, like adoption, for instance, where in terms of service provision, in terms of helping families and whatever the motivation, helping families become stronger and stronger, is something that we can share together, and we do all the better because we're a larger network doing it. So just a brief comment on that.
I have a social ministry organization.
Okay, those are really, I guess, kind of self-evident. So members who make up LSA, and I guess the only thing to say about that here again is just to note that we're not, again, LSA, some of the national partners we're talking about over here, like Red Cross and United Way and things, some of those operate with a different understanding. The United Way has, again, very, their members are very autonomous, and they sort of govern themselves and roll up just like our members do. Other groups have a pretty hierarchical way of structuring themselves. Groups report to regions, and regions report to kind of like a big company. LSA is a small national staff that really sees itself working for its members, providing services for its members, like advocacy, like I do, or human resources, or the set of network building, like chaplains networks and things like that. So it's kind of it's an inside-out look at something like a big corporate structure. We're actually going the other way.
I have Board for Human Care Ministries.
Okay. That is what the, you were talking about the Division for Church and Society in the ALCA. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has its Board for Human Care Ministries. And a number of their officers and people work very closely with Lutheran services too, so we can make sure that we're representing this sort of broad spectrum of Lutheran social ministry. It boggles my mind sometimes, because I have my perspective on what Lutheran is, you know, and I was brought up in the church, and I understand what I think, this is from an LCA and an ELCA background, but it boggles my mind again to rethink what I'm representing in Washington sometimes. When people ask me about that, there are, it's maybe a good point to mention that there are I think at this point 20, maybe a few less now, members of Congress who are Lutheran, senators and representatives, some of whom come from Missouri Synod and some of whom come from the ELCA. A number of them are from the Upper Midwest and Great Lakes region, Ohio and Illinois and Wisconsin, Minnesota. But it's interesting, when you go into their offices, there's a kind of different relationship with some of the staff. This is something that they don't let sort of rule their, govern their decisions. I think that's not right. But they do carry their faith in some way with them, and hopefully in productive, constructive ways that informs what they do and hopefully makes them aware of the needs that are out there. So it's kind of interesting that this comes together and that we try to represent social ministry in a way that's not focused on a corporate bottom line, you know, or a way of keeping a business and making a profit, but in fact it's this sort of ongoing cyclical nature of the faith and action, and faith and action, reflection, action, reflection, action.
If there's only three of them, can you tell us who they are?
Three of them? Mm-hmm.
Lutheran, you said there were only three Lutherans in Congress.
About, I think there are 20, there are a few less, there are...
I love a list of them.
There are, yeah, absolutely. They, yeah, we can do that. And it's on our website, too.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I can give you that at the end of the thing as a resource. But there are both, you know, I can just mention a set of names. I can mention that they're Republican and Democrat. Some of them are very conservative. Some of them are fairly liberal. They are pretty geographically diverse, which surprised me. But the majority are from the states you'd probably think of them being from, like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, Illinois. New York, Pennsylvania. I guess, are we running out of string? Whoa, okay. You can grab that little part.
You can get one. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Okay. Shouldn't belabor that. I think that's, you know, they're one of our sponsoring groups. We get support from both Missouri Synod and the ELCA. And I should point out, though, that they each have their own...
Getting that into there?
offices that talked about peace and justice and some of the theological concerns, the church being the conscience of the state. I mean, the LCA has an office right down the hall from us that talks about some of the same policy stuff like welfare reform and some tax issues and housing and things like that. But they talk about it from a slightly different perspective, whereas we're representing the sort of service of what's of concern to social workers and others. So, but we overlap a lot. And did you have one final one? Is there a second one? Over
no, they did it together.
Oh, okay. Sure. But for a second, if you could just lift that up, just lift those up head high for a second. That's what I picture when I think of LSA. It is a web of connections, relationships, information going in and out all the time. More a broad thing than really a deep sort of, you know, we don't focus too much specifically on our theology, although it's very important. We don't focus specifically on kinds of church relationships that go on, or the Division for Church and Society and the Board for Human Care. This is a network and a web. I just wanted to kind of, thanks for bearing with me with the sort of illustration. Probably, some of you probably have done that since first or second grade. But that helps us get an idea of what this network is. Yes.
Question.
Yeah.
For a moment, to go back to the budget. Two-part question. One, of the $7.6 billion, I think it was the number, is that a total of a lot of different budgets that are kind of independent of one another, or is that like all funneled through one office or one place?
That's an aggregate total of each, like Lutheran Social Service of Minnesota has their own structure for how they get funding in from the state of Minnesota and the federal government. LSS of Texas has another understanding. This is a roll-up of all of those.
Right.
Somebody adds them up. I don't. I wouldn't want to.
Well, that may be the second part of the question isn't answerable, but I was wondering if there's any kind of breakdown on of the $7.6 billion administrative expenses, direct service money, you know, what's going where?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we file with the government as being a not-for-profit organization, and so we make enough of a technical, in terms of budget language, I don't know a whole lot about budget, but we make enough of a, we clear enough in the black to pay our staff, and I'm grateful for that, and our, you know, our national, the people who work for Lutheran Services in America. But most of that is reported out as direct service spending. The percentage is in here somewhere. I'd be glad if you can clear it. This is our annual report. I wasn't going to throw a lot of paper at you. I mean, that's not the point of this. But if you're interested in this, it's online. It's pretty readable. It's not meant to be a very in-depth analysis of things. It's reporting of what Lutheran Services is. And some of you are thinking about volunteering ways or jobs coming out of school. In some way, it's interesting to read up on where the focus is.
Drew, if I could just make a comment to that
particular
question,
yeah.
Because it's asked a lot. People, when they're giving, want to have some sense that the money is really going to help people. But those figures are highly manipulated.
Oh, gosh.
And just to give you an example, I remember looking at the annual report in specific to some reporting that we have to do in foster care. Mm-hmm. With the refugee program, Catholic Community Services had a very similar program to us. They reported their administrative overhead as 8%. We reported ours as 14%. So I literally called them and said, how are you doing this for 8%? And then I found out that if anyone was a director of a program, they still call that a direct expense because that person was serving. We called those people administrative. And we were doing very, very similar services. We just cut the pie a little bit different. But since that affected our funding, you can bet the next year we can...
Back on April
7th. Right. especially, I really am concerned about always educating congregations about how tricky and slippery those figures are, because it's totally how you... what pot you put things in and how you fill out the text forms and stuff.
I think it's in the first couple pages of this, they talk about the summary.
What you do is you notice what kind of car the director of the agency is driving, and then that's probably a much better guide to how much is going to administer.
Well, the question we have about 5 minutes for in our brief hours up today is, given this sort of network web of connections and all the different ways that people pour resources into it, and time and energy, and devote some congregational time to it. What do you think about that as a common mission? I mean, is it important that these groups are rolled together as a national thing, or isn't that so important? I mean, they weren't until 5 years ago, and yet this reflects a ministry we were saying earlier, a couple hundred years old. I mean, how important is it to have a national Lutheran presence? And can we ever, given our emerging history and things, can we ever come together on a common mission? You know, what might that look like? Do you have any thoughts about that? So just take one at a time. I mean, do you feel it's important as a Lutheran or a Christian that there is a Lutheran presence, a national Lutheran presence? Any thoughts on that?
I guess personally, I don't think it's important that it's a Lutheran presence, but that there is that continual love and like caring for all those who are in need of assistance. Or that.
So, like these hospitals, there are 13 of them. Maybe a few of them have Lutheran in the name, but you know the.
But that the services are there for the people.
Yeah. Good point.
To me, there's two biggest values in this. One is that little network we just created, the networking between the organizations. Some of them are very small organizations and some are very large. And so if the smaller organization can borrow or buy into, say, a network administration system of a larger organization, they save lots of money and can provide more services. Or if you've got two programs doing the same thing, put your heads together, how do you do this, how do you do that, you improve quality. And so the fostering of collegiality among organizations with very similar missions is really helpful. That whole sharing of very practical ideas and stimulation, that's extremely useful. The other thing is that has faith and Christianity has been co-opted by the far right and public view of what does Christ call us to and what is Christian. I think it is helpful to be at least as organized about a voice that starts with respect for the person rather than evangelizing as the form of bringing Christ's word. And so I think you have to have a platform to ensure that that voice in public view is varied rather than kind of owned by those that speak the loudest, helping us learn how to speak louder. I think one of the problems with it, though, is even in the way the data is reported, is that it fosters a climate that big is better. And I think our vitality in social ministry is at the grassroots level. I like the word that you use, roll up. I think that the true vitality comes at grassroots in congregations and in our personal faith, and that we do run risk in getting bigger, of being a more forceful rather than a humble servant. And so that's, I think that's the danger, even though I'm all for that kind of getting together.
I would
definitely agree with you on the last point. I also think about it a little bit practically, politically, that you were talking about when you lobby, that you could say, well, you know, I speak for an organization that works with this many people and serves this many folks, and it seems like in our government more and more, if you could say they were working with this huge percentage of the population, that maybe you could listen to more. So it's a, there's still a way to do it humbly, but be heard nationally, because that's family.
And yet, one of the most powerful nonprofit lobbying groups, and they're not a lobbying group, it's a children's serving organization in Washington, is one that literally brings a plate of cookies to every member of the Washington legislature each year. And they're a very small group, but they are a line item in the governor's budget. And I can assure you that Lutheran Social Services is not, even though we have a lot. So it's personal.
I'll have to remember that when I...
Yeah.
Yeah, between a noodle.
Yeah. Jello.
Well, maybe coming at it, too, if you think about, and I don't know if this is going to make any sense, but if you come at it from a Lutheran viewpoint, I mean, we're all so diverse and different that there's no possible way that all of us could fit into one Lutheran church or an evangelical free, you know what I mean? And it's so different that maybe if we come at it with the way our theology is that we meet needs of some people that maybe another group wouldn't. You know, so maybe, I don't know that you could ever join it all as one group, you know, all the Christians in the United States and say this is social ministry, and being we're so diverse and different, maybe all the different religions play a specific role in who they reach or touch or...
That's a good point, that there's a positive aspect to our sort of diversity. Yeah. To be divisive, it can be, in fact, I mean, simply a diverse way of getting to a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that when people see Lutheran something or other on a marquee, on a signboard somewhere, that's not something that turns them away from coming in the front door.
Right.
That is something that is that they've come to know as or at least either have no opinion about, which is probably more the reality.
Or as being something that's welcoming.
Or it's something inviting, something that they know that what the faith is in that door. The people are free to pray with them, for instance, but the faith aspect there is a one of hospitality and a gracious kind of abiding presence. That is the faith. St. Francis said to preach the gospel always and sometimes use words.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
That's kind of a mantra that I think that we picked up. And we have a wide spectrum of groups, some of which understand their mission to be preaching the gospel in exchange for your soup or your counseling session or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we have other groups who would say no, that, I mean, it's much more subtle thing than that. But we kind of stand in that very precarious balance in the middle, and I think Mara was saying that in terms of advocacy. I'm not a bottom line kind of person where I sit and wait and like an anteroom or a parlor of a legislative office, and there are, you know, here's the NRA and here's the AARP and other groups that are enormous, powerful lobbyists, and, you know, here's Lutheran Services in America. But I think that distinction's okay, because what makes a difference to the member of Congress or more often to their staff is when they say, why are you sitting here and, you know, talking to us? And we can say, well, what our group is about is not for our own good, it's for, you know, it's serving others. And that really, it's a telling statement, it's kind of a sad statement, that is so distinct a presence on Capitol Hill that it makes a difference to people when they want to, you know, kind of listen. But so we bring our faith in with us in maybe in our own particular way that is unlike some of the other groups. Well, thanks for this has been a very quick walk through some of the statistics. We really are in the next couple of days going to be addressing some of the questions you brought up about what it means to be faith-based. Hillary Clinton, Pat Buchanan, George W., all Methodists. What does that mean? I feel like Tim Russert already had it.
Pat Buchanan is a Roman Catholic.
What I mean by that is he embraced this notion within Methodism. We're going to get into the social gospel idea. Social transformation. Yeah, quite right. Excuse me. Personally, yes.
Okay, I get what you mean.
I meant that. I meant that different label. But okay. You're quite right. Yes. But they have different ideas about how you transform society. So we're going to talk about social history tomorrow. Visions for society. You can get it out of the Bible. You can get it from the Constitution. You can get it from just about anywhere. So please come on back, and thanks for coming today.
What's your website? What time is your class tomorrow?
3:45 tomorrow.
Oh, we'll be gone.
Oh, so, yeah, that's the nature of this place.
We need the website.
I wish they'd come on tape. Yeah. No one told me. I planned this as a week long thing.
That's the way you do it.
Let me,
get
you.
Wait, you're not writing up my name.
I haven't lost it yet.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I wish I was here in the week. I'd love to be in.